Welcome to The Source. I'm your host, Arpita, and I'm here every week, whether it's a solo spiral or an unfiltered conversation with a guest who just gets it. This show is for you, me, and everyone who's just a little tired of doing the most. We're here to feel seen and heard, let our hair down a little, laugh a whole lot, and most importantly, learn a thing or two. Now, let's get to the source of it all.
Rachel, welcome to the Source Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. How do you feel?
Feeling good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we get into all the things, here's a little backstory for anyone listening. Rachel is what I like to call the everyday it girl. And honestly, I think you coined that term yourself, which is what makes this even better. So I'll give you a little backstory on who Rachel is and why she's sitting on this couch with me. I found Rachel on TikTok a few years ago, and I immediately felt like I had finally discovered someone who's making the kind of content that I could actually relate to. So first of all, thank you.
Thank you.
She's into beauty, into luxury, but in a way that's thoughtful, self-aware, and real, which you don't really find a lot. And you're also not afraid to be vulnerable and share what you're going through. She is a full-time finance girly. She's raising the cutest baby girl and creating content on TikTok and Substack. So that's a little bit of Rachel, and she has the most amazing perspective on life and all things. So we're going to get into a lot of fun stuff today.
That's a very, very, very nice sentence. Thank you so much for saying all that.
Of course. Well, also, funnily enough, we've connected on TikTok and realized we live within, would you say, like 100 feet of each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Literally.
And now you're leaving me to move elsewhere. We won't talk about that, but we're a little upset by that. But really, it's like the power of the internet and this like parasocial relationship that kind of brought us together. So I'm excited for you to be one of the first guests on The Source.
I'm so honored.
All right. So now I'm going to put my phone away because it's time to get into it. So the first segment of the podcast is called Source Material. And if you don't know what source material is for everyone listening, it's really like the backstory to anything you're doing. So if you're launching something new, if you're doing a movie or reading a book, like you're like, what makes you who you are? So Rachel, what is your source material? What makes you you?
So I think a few things. One, I think family. Like, I am such a big family girl.
Yeah.
If you ask me, like, you have three things to do on the weekend, you're completely free, like, I will call my husband and hang out with my kid. That makes me who I am. I think work ethic makes me who I am. And the third, honestly, I think is just being really authentically me. I was talking to a friend about this yesterday, and I think your 30s, I don't know if you feel this way too, but like your 30s are for finally being the girl that you were too afraid to be in your 20s.
Amen to that.
So I'm like really just about if who I am doesn't jive with someone or they don't agree with it, like that's cool, peace and blessings. But like I'm very just like in my own skin right now, which feels very good.
That I couldn't have said that better myself. That's also quite literally why we're sitting on this couch and doing it, because I mean, we were talking about this before, like I did this podcast hiding from my like little apartment on my kitchen table being like, you know, I don't want to kind of like be fully out there. But that was like the 20s version of me. And now I like, think like you said, when we're in our 30s and you've also had a beautiful baby. So you're like in this era of just like owning who you are and doing everything that you like always knew that you could. I think that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you're so lucky that you were able to do that before having a child. I feel like a lot of me feeling that way was after I had a kid, because after I gave birth, I was like, I can do fucking anything.
Yeah.
Like that was my number one fear growing up, was like childbirth.
Yeah.
And after I did that, I was like, oh, and what?
Yeah.
Like I could do anything.
Women elite. That's all I'll say. Elite.
That's really cool that you're able to like, without any like big life event, be like, you know what? It's actually my time
now. Yeah. And I think it's like the sort of the culmination of small things. And I know you've talked about this a lot with like just going through things that you've gone through, whether it's with friends or family or like anxiety or all those things, like these little moments that kind of muster up to the point where it pushes you off the edge. And you're like, you have two options. You can either do something or you can like wallow and be a victim. I've definitely been in that victim space where I'm like, woe is me. Life sucks. Nothing's going in my favor. And you kind of have to like pick yourself back up. And I think that something that you talked about that I really resonated with, and I know everyone listening to, is like this idea of balanced ambition. And like, we're told that we need to have these insane careers and do everything and be a mom and be working a full-time job and have a TikTok, but also be fit and look great. that's sometimes not always the narrative that we want to share. So talk to me about balanced ambition.
So I started talking about balanced ambition pretty openly because I am someone who, like, when I'm struggling with something, the only way out is through.
Yeah.
And although I talk about it, like, with my therapist once a week, it's a lot more helpful, I think, to sometimes just, like I sit down with my camera and I'm not, like, let me think about what to talk about. I just, like, start spewing how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And in the moment, I was feeling really overwhelmed. Like, I have a very serious corporate job, now being a mom, and then also doing content. I struggle a lot with, like, am I making the best use of my time, or am I just doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing, or am I chasing something that is not, like, in the long run that important to my life?
Yeah.
Or is that, you know, is it going to make me feel whole? And I think what is important, and it's something that I also really struggle with, is wanting to get the most out of 24 hours. And although balanced ambition is about finding a balance, it's also about just, like, literally just raging through the day and getting as much done as possible, because my whole thing is, like, we might not be here tomorrow.
Yep.
We only have 24 hours in a day. Yep. Might as well do it all.
Yeah.
But I think this year I've really pulled back and realized that, like, my 80% is someone else's 100%. So in certain areas where I can pull back and not go full steam in every single facet of my life, it's actually been, I think, a really healthy rebalancing.
Yeah. No. And I think that's a really great way to put it, because I feel like we're all chasing after something and we're told we need to chase after it. And that's exactly what I love when I heard that TikTok of yours, which was like, you have to decide what that looks like for you. Mm-hmm. Success looks different to everyone. Values are different for everyone. Yeah. The first thing you said was family. It's the same for me. And if that's not in place and you're not able to give time to that, then nothing else really matters. Mm-hmm. And so I think that equilibrium is important. But our generation of women, and especially I think the younger generation today, like the Gen Zers of it all, they're chasing these things without realizing that, like, this is how burnout is formed. Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you compound so many things and you end up waking up one day and you're like, great, I have, like, crippling anxiety and I can't really function. And so I think that that term of, like, balancing and knowing that, like, sometimes you can just be, you're just going to be a mom that day.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to be, like, a kick-ass, you know, corporate employee. Some days you're going to make, like, an insane TikTok, and that's the best you can do. And I think that I get caught up in that also, especially when, like, I'm someone who likes to do a lot of things and puts a lot of pressure on myself. And I think you are in the same category where, like, it's like I'm my biggest fan, but my biggest hater all at once.
Which we need to talk about, because I don't like that you do that.
I know. We're working on it. It's like, we just need to, like, get out of that. And I think that that helps you kind of see life through a different lens and be like, okay, I'm going to give my time to this today.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think one thing too, just to, like, add to that, is, like, my narrative has really changed.
Yeah.
I used to be my biggest hater. Where, like, if I did something as small as trip, in my head, I'd be like, you're so dumb. Like, pick it up. But now I feel like, and it wasn't like an overnight thing, but literally every single time a thought comes into my brain, now it's positive, which for years and years and years, it was so negative and it was so debilitating to the point where I was like, I cannot listen to this voice in my own head anymore. But I also think that, like, that's helped too. Once I stopped being a hater and started, like, cheering myself on, getting through some of the harder times throughout the day has been easier, because I'm like, oh, you got this. You've done it before. Like,
right.
It's cool.
That's true. And how did you, I mean, obviously it's not like an easy flip of the switch, but what are some of the steps you took to get there? Because I know, like you said, I'm definitely on more of the negative side, especially internally. I'm everyone else's biggest fan. I'll be like, yeah, you go, girl. You got this. You could do this. When it comes to me, I'm like, no, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah,
that's so true. we're working on that. But what did you do? Like, if someone listening is kind of dealing with this, because I know a lot of women are hard on themselves, like, what are some steps you took?
Okay, well, if we're being so honest.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I was going to go here, but I'm going to go here. When I was a senior in college, I'm trying to check myself so I don't get emotional. I've literally never talked about this out loud, except to my therapist, my husband.
Safe space.
Yeah. When I was a senior in college, I found a group chat with, like, my very best friends in the whole world. And it was months and months and months of just, like, the worst things you could read about yourself, like, physically. And it wasn't even things that, like, I could have changed. Like, if I was a bitch that morning, you know, like, those are things, like, okay, you read about that, you can check yourself and be like, gotta be nicer to people or whatever. It was all things that I felt were really out of my control. But what was interesting is like I crashed out so hard for like 6 months, like really crushed. You would have not recognized the human I was. I was just like partying a lot, like being really irresponsible. And when I look back on it now, I'm like, nothing can hurt me anymore, because when you've seen like the meanest shit you could ever read about yourself from the people that you trusted the most,
yeah.
I think it changes your whole perspective on life. And now I'm like, if no one's going to be there for me, like I have to be there for me.
Yeah.
So not to get like, whatever.
No, oh my God. But thank you for sharing that. I can't even fathom going through that at 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
And being like, maybe 20.
21. Well, yeah. I think it's important to share, because I think a lot of women think that they have to like stay in not just like negative cycles with themselves, but like negative friendships, like things like that. And like, there is another side to it.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to like kind of wipe your whole slate clean and start over new. But yeah, so that's the long answer of like why I started becoming an advocate for myself in my own head, is I was like, I need to protect me.
Yeah.
Because no one else is going to do that.
Yeah. And I think when you're at such an impressionable age, which like, screw them, but we'll keep that for another conversation. We wish them well, but like, you know,
I believe in karma.
Yeah, that's true. I know, as a Jane, I believe in that too. So I should definitely not say that. But I think that when you're an impressionable age at that point, like you have to make sure that you're doing what you did, because you could also have chosen to believe what they said,
yeah,
and spiral and crash out in a way that I think would have taken your life in a different direction. And so first of all, like, the strength in you to like pick yourself back up at that point is like really incredible, because I'm not sure if everyone could do that.
Thank you.
And I know like in this age of social media, you're also on the internet. One of like my biggest fears is like being perceived by someone else and like having to like be like, no, but that's not what I meant, or that got taken out of context. And it's like, that's from people you don't know.
Right.
So when it's someone you know, like that just cuts a little bit deeper. But I think that the fact that you were able to kind of rewrite that narrative is something that like so many people go through different things in life. And like, I know for me, like totally different, but I've had like a lot of like friendship. I think like in college too, like we go through friendships and you have like a friendship breakup where—
By the way, nothing hurts worse than that.
Like, yeah. It's like, boys, I'm like, I've been dating my husband since I was 19 and we've been together, and I've never dated anyone besides him. So I've never actually gone through a breakup, which sometimes I joke, I wish I did, because I didn't really like— I didn't understand dating, whole other topic, but you know, but with friendship breakups, that cut in the places where I don't think I've recovered.
Yeah.
No amount of therapy and no amount of anything. And so I think women, female friendships are so important. And I know we're now talking about something totally different, but it's important. And like, to have women in your life that you can have these conversations with. And like, I would just hope that for someone who's 21 today, like they're able to share this with someone, or like, you know, find a safe space so they don't have to deal with something like this themselves.
Yeah. And like, literally the only advice I have to give is like, get rid of them now.
Yeah.
Because it's never too late to start over new.
Yeah.
And a friendship breakup hurts 10 times worse than a breakup with a partner, because that really cuts deep. I think female friendships, especially.
Female friendships, I have said this so many times and I stand by it, are the most complex layered relationships, even more than like romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. They require 10x more work, because as women, we're not conditioned to be friends. If you really think about it, like we were conditioned, like evolution, if you think about like the whole thing, to compete.
Yeah.
Like we were put on this earth to compete for like the man.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is like born out of competition. And I think like people forget that. And so you have to really work so much harder to be like, no, I actually love her and I care for her and I want to foster this relationship and give to it. So yeah. Well, cheers to female friendships.
Cheers.
Cheers to being here. And on that note, I want to kind of like switch gears to talking about you being this like everyday it girl. So where did this come from?
So, again, I have like a surface answer, but I'll give you like the deep.
We're here to be deep. Okay. So, yeah. So, the source of it all.
I love it. No. So, I think growing up, I had it all and then it all got taken away.
Yeah.
So, and then we've like made our way back. But I think so, going through different like financial stability has really pushed me, I think, to like always find peace with just make it work and make it look cute, and like no one else has to know what's going on.
Yep.
And I think just like by nature, I'm a high low girl. Like I'll never look at something and be like, oh, it's from, I'm making it up, like,
yeah,
Kohl's.
Yeah.
And that is just not my vibe.
Yep.
Like, if it's same. Cute, it's cute.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. We're not Morgan Stewart.
No.
Although, my queen, my goddess, like, I would be her. But I don't know if you heard her podcast. This is a side note. She was on the cutting room.
Yeah.
And she was asked if, you know, she's a high-low girl. She's like, no.
No.
That's not me. But, like, obsessed with her for that.
She's in her truth.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me.
No. Yeah. I love a high-low moment, but I think, like, it's so important to break the stigma of, like, when you see people online and you see creators, like, talking about how, like, oh, on a Tuesday, I was bored, so I went and got a matcha and a Van Cleef bracelet. Like, that's not real life.
I'd die.
But, like, that's my whole free.
Right.
Right. And after a while, I was like, okay, this is, like, if I was an impressionable 20-something-year-old girl and I was watching this in my teens,
yeah,
and I'm thinking about my daughter Sloan watching stuff like this when she's older,
yeah,
like, I don't want her to think that this is normal or aspirational.
Yeah.
Like, what is aspirational is, like, being a good human, getting a cool job that you feel really strongly about, like, being close with your family, calling your parents. Those are things that you should be proud of, right?
Yes.
So I think I was like, how do I try and show people that, like, an everyday it girl, like, doesn't mean that things are, like, outrageously expensive or, like, exclusive. It just means that you know good shit.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter where it's from. It could be, like, the best latte that you make at home, the best, like, tennis necklace, which we'll talk about.
Yeah,
like, little things like that, I just think, are so important that not everything has to be, like,
literally, crazy. Birkin Brigade is what I call it.
Yeah.
And I actually recording a solo episode later. And it's like, I feel so strongly about the fact that, like, they have made this, like, democratization of luxury feel so normal. Like a 21-year-old thinks it's normal to have 4 Cartier love bracelets stacked on her arm. And, like, you barely just graduated college. Like, and you're going into debt. You're using Klarna and Afterpay to pay for these things. Like,
yep. But also, like, what is there to look forward to? Like,
right.
If you're getting it all now,
What are you working towards? Exactly. And so I love that. And I think what I love about this, the concept of everyday it girl, is it's different to you and it's different to me.
Yeah.
It's different to someone listening. Like, I'd like to think that we're all it girls in our lives. Like, we're all this, like, everyday it girl. But all it means is that you have taste and you own who you are. And it's not just the material stuff. It's like being nice, like you said, being compassionate, like having values, and like it's like the whole package of it all. And I think that a lot of people think that it's just like, oh, she's the everyday it girl because, like, she's wearing the latest this and the latest that and she has, like, the best makeup. But why can't you be both things? Like, there's this duality of, like, you can be here, we're talking about really deep things, and I know we're going to talk about this, like, holy shit lip gloss that changed our lives, because that's who we are. Like,
which, by the way, is from the drugstore.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it. It's like the high-low of it all, but, like, the high-low also applies to our lives. Like, you could have had the craziest morning of your life today, but, like, you're here recording the podcast, and I think, like, social media plays a part of this perception where people just see, like, what you want them to see.
Yeah.
But I think we need to, like, understand that we all live these, like, multifaceted, layered lives, and we show up in ways that we want to that make us feel good. And I think that's, like, what I have taken from you sharing, like, this whole concept of this everyday it girl.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's important too. And also just, like, normalizing having a corporate job.
Yes.
I think it's
so important. Oh my God.
Like, I was on, okay, so I take the ferry and then I take the shuttle bus. And I
love that ferry.
And so I was like, wait, you're Rachel Stalky. I was like, yeah, what's up? We were talking. And she was like, you are taking the bus. I was like, obviously, this is my get to work. But, like, little things like that where I don't know if people thought, like, I was, like, making it up, that I, like, go to work, then I come home and I closs all these different things.
Does it right
now? Yeah. I literally was on the bus because it's the most efficient way to get to work.
I will forever be a New Jersey Transit girly pop, like, forever be sweating on that bus top. But you know what I'm talking about. Like, how can you not? And to me, like, being a corporate girl was my entire identity for, like, and just we've talked about this, too. And through layoffs and all that, like, my kind of, like, rhythm changed, but also in the field that I'm in, there's way more opportunity to, like, build my own consultancy and, like, work with clients. But if I didn't have structure in my day, or if I didn't have something else to do, I know we've talked about that, I would go crazy. And I just think, like, people have normalized, like, going to Pilates at 11 o'clock, getting a matcha at 2 p.m. And the generation that just graduated college thinks that's what they're, like, aspiring to be. I read this crazy thing where if you ask, like, 67% of women who just graduated college what they want to be, they want to be an influencer.
I saw this.
They want to be a content creator.
It was disturbing to me, to be honest.
Which, like,
as a creator,
which, like, first of all, when we graduated college, we didn't even know this was a thing.
Correct.
And that doesn't mean you can't do it, sure. But I think what makes people the most interesting creators are when you have other things that you do in life.
Yeah.
You can like bring that perspective in. If you're just sitting there talking about makeup all day, it can work for you. And I feel like there are women who've like exceeded past that point, like the Alex Earls of the world, but it couldn't be me.
Yeah, I think the people that are able to do that, like, great for them.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that's amazing and that's something that they really love. If I'm being totally honest, like, content creation doesn't come naturally to me. It's not second nature. I was always behind the camera, like,
yeah,
working in marketing, working with influencers, again, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So, but I think what has been cool is obviously it's unlocked a whole other part of my life, which has been exciting at times, but to your point, like, I am someone who, this could go away tomorrow. And, like, if it goes away tomorrow, like,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to
do? Exactly.
Okay, you can't put, like, content creator on your resume.
Right. Which, like, I feel like people are starting to now because it is, on the flip side of that, it is, like, this crazy billion-dollar industry and there's that. But the mental toll of it is something that I don't think like I would want to grow up with. And if I think if we grew up like right now and if we started creating content at 20, 21, I can't imagine how high our therapy bills would be.
I agree. Can I tell you one thing though?
Yeah.
That's like a hot tip. I think when you think of content creators, you think of people that are chronically online.
Yeah.
I'm the most offline person in the entire world. I actually spend more time on my Instagram, which is funny because I just made myself public like very recently.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't scroll. I don't doom scroll. I view it very much so as when I was a teenager, when we would read like 17 magazines,
yes.
Cosmo, you flip through, you do your thing. Once the magazine's done, you close it and you put it away.
Yeah.
Which is how I view TikTok. Like once I'm done interacting with like my audience, like I don't need to keep scrolling. Like,
yeah,
I'm setting the trends. I don't need to be like,
yes, you are. Yeah.
But I think
that's exactly like we have two perspectives here and I'm trying to change mine, which is like you joined these places and these platforms to create content.
Right.
I started as a consumer of the content and I realized that that was not doing like that was not faring well for my brain. That is making me feel like I'm brain rotting. I don't know what's going on. I'm chronically online and I have so many ideas. I'm too scared to put it out there.
Yeah.
So now I'm kind of like almost switching to what you're doing.
You're doing the same thing.
Which is like, you know, yeah, we're doing the damn thing. Oh my gosh. But yeah, exactly that. But you're right. Like it's a business. You have to treat it like you turn it on and you turn it off. And that's also why I love Substack, which I know you're on Substack too. Substack to me feels like being 17 magazine, like reading a 17 magazine.
I'm obsessed.
It's like the spoken word, the written word. Like we've lost all concept of that.
Yeah.
And it's like slowly coming back.
It's slowly coming back. I wrote this like post on Substack the other day where it was like all of the cool girls that were reading Into the Gloss at their corporate jobs are now on Substack. And like every girl that just knows.
Yeah.
Right here. Literally. Like every girl that just knows what's up.
Yeah.
And is like intelligent and wants to spend time like learning, creating, cultivating relationships with women and brands. And like it's everything. And I'm trying to now when I commute, I like just open Substack.
No, same like Twitter. Like I love the feed too because it's like I get some ideas from there because I'm like the visuals people post. It's like
what
Pinterest
needs,
Twitter or X or whatever you call it, but without the craziness. And I don't want the news because I get that anywhere else. I don't want to see what crazy shit's happening for like the 10th time today because God, like that's a whole other conversation.
This is the year of Substack. It
really is. I agree. So plug, subscribe to Rachel's Substack and The Source of Substack so you can be there. All right. Well, we are going to move into what I'm calling the hot girl seat part of the conversation. And we're going to ask you some fun rapid fire questions. Tell me exactly what's on your mind. And yeah, we'll have some fun.
Okay.
You ready?
I think so.
Okay. What is a hill you're willing to die on forever and ever?
Skincare doesn't have to be complicated.
Retweet all of the things.
Yeah. I think like the consumer mindset has made you think you need to have like a 10-step skincare routine and get retinol and do this and do that. Like, pare it all down. Make it super simple for yourself.
Yep.
Make it easy. Do the stuff that works for you. What works for me might not work for you, vice versa.
1,000%.
Like, yeah. Yes. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Yeah. Same thing with makeup.
I agree.
Yeah.
Fun fact here, I had a skincare Instagram in like 2016 called Millennial Skin, and I have really bad acne-prone skin my whole life, and I tested, this was the drunk elephant era, like I'm talking about, Sunday Riley.
Yes.
Spent all my hard-earned money on these products, messed up my skin to the point where if I show you a picture, you'll be like, oh God, and would like recommend products to people. And in creating that account, I messed up my skin, essentially. And I realized that ever since that day, I will never share like a blanketed, this product's going to work for you. Because no matter if you have perfect skin or if you have not perfect skin or textured skin or whatever, it's not the same.
Correct.
It's like, it's just not the same. I think there's like tried and tested things that work, like CeraVe, face wash, and like basic things.
Gentle things.
But like if you're using retinol, it's not going to work on me.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. Also, medical grade skincare.
Always.
Medical grade skincare for the girlies. Like stop buying all the Sephora things. Like I want to be obsessed with Brode. Didn't do it for me. Clogged my pores.
I like certain things from Brode.
Yeah.
But
see, there we go.
It has pore clogging ingredients.
Right.
So like use it sparingly. And like if you're doing it under a day where like you want your makeup to look super like glowy, amazing.
Yeah.
Do it. But it's not like an everyday.
Exactly.
Day. Yeah.
All right. Love it. Speaking of, we're staying in the same vein. What is a beauty or household product that you know is a scam, but you're going to keep buying it anyways? Whether it's for like the vibes or the aesthetic.
I don't know if it's a scam, but I love like a beautiful incense burning moment.
It's not
a scam, but like...
No, it's not a scam. But yeah, exactly.
I'll always keep them burning in my home. I think, again, the whole like home scent thing is like I thrive in this moment. Like my home has a very specific scent.
You're and a fragrance girl.
I'm not a fragrance girl. Oh, you're not?
I'm not. Like I only wear perfumes that people are gift me.
Okay.
And I finally am my last gift. So I'm like, who's going to buy me a perfume now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can bring you a perfume.
Okay, perfect.
When I see you tomorrow. Yeah. I think people think like, oh, we should buy candles, whatever. But like, I'm super into like non-tox moments.
Yes, yes, yes.
So what's your
fragrance? Right now, what's your fragrance?
Okay, so our home smells like mandarin basil. It's like a very specific.
All right, yeah.
Have you tried any of like the Home Court products?
Yeah.
Insane.
Courtney Cox, right?
Yes. Yeah. Which like is so random because like, no shade to Courtney Cox, but like what?
Yeah, like the connection is feels a little odd.
I actually ignore the connection.
Yeah,
and I just because like it doesn't make.
Yeah, yeah.
But the products are insane.
Okay.
Flamingo Estate. Have you tried those candles?
No.
The Roma tomato or heirloom tomato and Roma.
Is that a thing now? Loewe? Trader Joe's?
Oh, good.
Trader Joe's has one.
I heard that the Trader Joe's one is like a perfect year for the Loewe.
No, it is. But my husband is a candle. He's like the candle queen in our house. Like I always joke, he loves candles. He lights one every single night. And I'm like, we need to like not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You guys will
get like home scent is definitely a scam that I buy into all the time.
Love it. Okay. What is a kind of like Delulu thought or mantra you have that you say to gas yourself up when you're feeling just schmeh?
This is really lame. I've done it. Okay. I've done it for every single job that I've wanted to get.
Okay.
When I knew that I was going to get a call from like the recruiter or whatever that day, I walk and I like say this mantra out loud. It's literally Ariana Grande from Seven Rings.
Ready? Oh my God. I
see
you. That's the thing
I wanted. I got it.
Yeah.
And every single time, sorry, my sticky boots are coming off.
No, you're
and
fine.
Every single time I've said it, something good happens.
I literally. Want it? I got it.
All that you today. And anytime my husband's like trying to get something or will something or manifest something, I'm like, you know what to say?
Yeah.
Call in Ari.
All right.
And I literally say,
call in Ari.
Yeah.
Ari besties, we love you.
Yeah.
Okay, love that. I'm going to use that now. All right. And the last one is, if your current life chapter had a dress code to it, what is it?
Honestly, probably what I'm wearing now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I feel like I love a casual, like, boxy top, like a tee.
Yeah.
And some type of cool pant. Because realistically, like, I'm picking up my daughter's things. I'm cooking her food. I'm wiping boogers off of her face.
Yeah.
90% of the time. I need something, like, easy breezy.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really leaning into, like, I love how Coco Schiffer dresses.
Yeah.
There's this girl I follow on Instagram, Luma DeMello. She dresses sick. Like,
love
just
it.
Just monochrome, simple, but, like, a really chic pony and, like, your makeup.
Love it. Well, this is, like, everything. And I was going to say, I feel like elevated casual is where everyone's playing. And I realized that I tried to do 50 other things and I come back to that because that's just, like...
Timeless.
That's just timeless.
Yeah.
And that's what sticks in your closet.
Yep.
All right. Now for the last bit, we're going to flip the script a little bit because I feel like when you're on a podcast, the host is always talking and yabbing, aka me. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to ask me anything, to say anything to our audience. If you have a thought that you're like, you've been holding, this is your space.
Okay. Was there like a holy shit moment, like a specific moment where you were like, I'm just going to do this and try all the way?
So many. I can like point out 15, but one of the biggest holy shit moments was actually 2 weeks apart. I got two separate emails to my Modern Millennial email account from people I did not know, sending me like, hey, I know this is weird, but we really miss your podcast. We really loved it. It really helped me through some dark times in my life. Like, just wanted to know, when are you bringing it back? And those two moments of two girls that, like, I don't know who they are personally, were, was like, what am I doing? What am I sitting on? What am I so scared of? And like, why am I just like holding back on like sharing the things I want to share? Because I'm scared of, like, I don't know, maybe the 20 people closest to me, like, what are they going to say? Yeah, literally around you. And we know that, but it was those two moments. And I still have the screenshots. I like was in Trader Joe's once and I started like tearing when I read that, because I showed my husband and I was like, this is insane.
Yeah, it's a sign. And
it was a sign. Exactly. It was two signs within 2 weeks. Before I got the emails, I was like, you know what? I want to live this like private life. I just want to continue at my corporate job and that. 2 weeks later, I was like, no, no, this isn't it. This is going to be it. And I'm going to like make it work and kind of rewrite the rules of working so I can do all the things I wanted to do.
I'm upset.
The way we are.
Well, we're really doing it.
We're really doing it.
I'm really proud.
You're doing it. I'm proud of you. And thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing. I know that you shared some like deep cuts, but that's what life is about. That's what The Source is about.
Yeah.
It's the high and low of it all. And for everyone listening, thank you for being here and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure to leave a rating or review and share it with a friend. It goes a long way. Also, subscribe to our Substack for more fun and to stay updated on all things. We'll see you next week. Until then, sending you all the good vibes.